Good evening. We're going to do a bit of a character sketch tonight. Going to look a little bit at Joshua and taking note of two things in particular. The one was the term that God used to describe Joshua in a very, very positive way. And secondly, the challenge of imitation, imitating someone. You know, in our culture, that immediately doesn't fit too well. You know, you're supposed to just be yourself and be genuine. And don't try to be like somebody else. Don't imitate other people. And it's certainly true that wrong imitation is a very, very bad thing. But the Bible does tell us to imitate other people. And I think we don't imitate enough. And it's not just the Joshuas and the great preachers and the great leaders. You know, we're all gifted. We're all part of the body of Christ. And somebody might be a great preacher that's called to go to big conferences and so on and so forth. But his natural gift might not leave him left to himself the most compassionate person in the world. And sometimes I think, you know, that we're compared to a body and there's a head and hands and feet. And I think once in a while the heads have to pause, sit back and notice the hands and the feet and notice the areas that they're more gifted than they are. And see in the small members things that they need to learn from. Watch them and imitate them and be like them. So that's a background with the thought of what did God point out that as the overwhelming trait of Joshua, and second, the idea of imitating. So Numbers chapter 32. Verses 10 to 12, and then we're going to bounce to quite a number of others, but this is our starting point to look at the man Joshua. Numbers 32, verses 10 to 12. The Lord's anger was aroused that day, and he swore with this oath, because they have not followed me wholeheartedly, not one of the men 20 years old or more who came out of Egypt will see the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not one except Caleb and Joshua, for they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. They followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Now, the Lord was greatly angered with most of Israel. And he never says, they didn't follow me at all. Oh, yes, they followed me when I said, hey, you know, come out of Egypt, come out of slavery. They followed me after a bit of grumbling. But when I opened up the Red Sea and they saw a clear path through, they were willing to follow. But then I told them to do something that was too much for them, that they could never possibly accomplish, but I could. And if they moved forward, it would be because they trusted me and followed me with their whole heart. how important, you know, how important is it to be wholehearted in our devotion to God? Well, I think to God it's pretty important. A whole nation of people over 20 years of age died in the wilderness because they were half-hearted. Two men walked into the promised land because they were wholehearted. That's both an encouraging and a scary thought. Today's study concerning Joshua, I'm also going to put forward a man to imitate. The Bible talks about imitating others, both in negative and positive ways. In a negative way, in Deuteronomy 18:9, when you enter the land the Lord your God has given you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Okay, I said a minute ago, there's imitating other people that's bad. But in Hebrews 6:12, we have this. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Look, take note. What is it that makes that faithful servant different than the one that I look at and kind of wonder how faithful they are? And look, not so much to judge in that sense, but to judge in the sense of what can I learn? What can I learn by watching that person's life and putting it into practice? Now, that's a pretty important thing. We could study all about Joshua. But would it do us any good whatsoever if we could recite all the verses and tell all the details and have all of the facts carefully cataloged in our mind and we never imitated a bit of it? Well, I guess we'd be smarter, half-hearted followers. The positive examples that are given in Scripture are not given to us to improve our storehouse of knowledge. They're given to us to improve our walk with the Lord. Now, I want to make a note here. This verse, we do not want you to be lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. You know, sometimes I think we have a very mixed up idea what patience is. I've seen some parents that so brag about their patience with their children that they're so patient they never bother to raise them. You know, they can yell, they can scream, they can beat up the kid next door, and I'm patient. I'm patient. But it's interesting in this verse, in the very verse it tells us the good side of being patient tells us not to become lazy. Patience is not inactivity. Patience is determined activity even when you don't see the results for a long, long time. A long, long time. The person that needs a job, that's patient in searching for a job, is going out looking day after day after day, filling out applications. The patient one doesn't say, I've already filled out 19 applications. I'm just going to go home now and wait. That's impatience. Patience is, I guess I have to fill out form number 20. or 21 or 22. Patience, when it comes to waiting on the Lord, isn't a matter of, oh, I don't grumble about the Lord because he's not helping me overcome this problem in my life. I'm just going to patiently go about my business until he's ready. Patience is continuing to pray, continuing to strive, to get back up when we fail, when we fall down. And it's so contrary to the social pressure. Imitate those that are patient. Imitate those that keep humbly walking in obedience despite not receiving any immediate gratification. And the world would say, are you kidding? These issues are nothing new. The warning, do not imitate the detestable ways of the nation here. The ways of the nations, the majority actions or attitude, it often means not fitting in, not being accepted. Have you ever heard a young person say, but everybody is doing it? So what? What does that have to do with anything? Do you know that the great majority are also on a broad road? It's easy to imitate the wrong people because they're the ones that are working to draw attention to themselves and that the world is very happy to give them that attention. To find right role models, it takes some effort. And also guidance from Scripture. To all of us, recognize that people do and properly should imitate others. So I ask you this, before we get to Joshua, let's start with you. Are you one they should imitate? Or to put it this way, what if every believer had your amount of love for God and your degree of separation from the sins of the world? What if every church member had your commitment? The challenge is given in the New Testament, Hebrews 13, 7 and 8. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The world wants to rewrite the rules generation by generation by generation. But truth is not generational. Truth is eternal. Paul said, therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Now, did Paul ever say he was perfect? No. Absolutely not. That which I would do, I don't do. It's not me, it's sin that resides within me. I'm helpless, I'm undone. But through Christ, at another point he said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So today we'll look at Joshua and traits worth imitation. The overshadowing one, he followed God wholeheartedly. It was seen in Egypt, in the wilderness, and in the promised land. Early in his life, this is said of Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, Moses, my Lord, stop them. Okay? Joshua's devotion to God and service to Moses started when he was a young guy. Young people, it's a good thing to begin your service to God when you're young. And one good way to do that is to help those that are ahead of you. Joshua did not look upon the older Moses with suspicion, but seeing Moses to be called of God to lead, Joshua wanted to follow, and he was a faithful aide to Moses for more than 40 years. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Now the Lord often saves people late in life. And we praise the Lord for that. Absolutely, we praise the Lord for that. But you know, when I've seen somebody that came to the Lord late in life, and oftentimes just, you know, they know how much the Lord has transformed them, they know what they've been forgiven of, they have such a deep appreciation for the grace of God and such a deep love because what God has done, I've never once heard them say, "I'm sure glad that God didn't call me in my youth, because I sure would have missed out on a lot of fun." I've never heard that. I've never heard that. It's a wonderful blessing to know the Lord in our youth, but it shouldn't be taken for granted. Out of thanksgiving, we should seek to serve the Lord early. 2 Timothy 2:22. I'm sorry. I just read that. Joshua served Moses. You know, that seems to be such an exciting thing. Moses is a great leader. Parting of the Red Sea. You know, all the miracles, the plagues, all this kind of stuff. And Joshua gets to be there by the right hand man of the leader. Scripture describes Moses as a humble man. It says he was the most humble man. And Joshua started serving him not in the height of popularity and miracles. Do you think it was out of a thirst for excitement that as a young man he served the most humble person that he knew? Somebody that never promoted themselves, never trash talked, never put his rivals down. Calling on the Lord out of a pure heart and being a most humble person are not what the world is attracted to. That's not the kind of traits that sell soft drinks and fast food. And they usually go unnoticed or outwardly scoffed at. But they are traits that we, and especially young people, should search out and attach ourselves to. Sally and I were watching a baseball game the other day. Now, believe it or not, there was an adult professional athlete that wasn't humble. I know that's shocking. In fact, he seemed to have a rather arrogant and rotten attitude, and it led to the benches clearing and a big mob scene out there. And the rest of the game, every time there wasn't something immediate going on, they would shift the camera so you could watch him walk and boast. And the expressions on his face. why didn't the cameraman ever want to take a picture of the humble player that was just out there playing the game with a good attitude? Because we're attracted to the wrong things. Scripture says, the greatest among you must be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Secondly, by the time Joshua was needed, Moses already knew he could count on him. Okay? If you really want to be a servant in the kingdom, don't sit back and wait until someday there's a great big need and run up and then expect that the pastor's going to say, oh yeah, you're ready for that responsibility. By the time Joshua was needed, Moses knew he could count on him. Exodus 17:8. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with a staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Only months out of Egypt, and Joshua, still a relatively young man. Who does Moses call on for the tough task? And why? Joshua was called upon for the big task because he had proven himself a reliable servant in the small stuff to a most humble man. So far, Joshua, a servant, dependable since his youth, ready to step forward in a difficult and dangerous situation. This was just the first display of Joshua's courage. And I'm not going to read all of the passage that I have here, but we're familiar with it. They came back, this is in Numbers 13, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran, and they reported to them and the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. The spies had been out, sent out. Find out what this land is like that God is calling us to. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here it is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very strong. Skipping down to verse 30. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron and the whole assembly and said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. When faith fails, it's just crazy. Wouldn't it have been better back there if we would have died than stand here before a land filled with milk and honey, a great land with great fruit, and God saying, I'm going with you and it's going to be yours. Oh no, I wish I would have died. Unbelief is not sensible. They said we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Joshua had the courage to give a good and accurate report, bringing every thought captive to Christ, to stand up against the majority opinion, not being conformed. He had the courage to encourage going ahead despite the obstacles of strong men and cities. He was ready to be obedient against resistance. And he did not back down from being different. Joshua displayed faith in God's word and a resolve to obey. Those words again. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land. Only do not rebel against the Lord. The enemy is great. Their armies are strong. Their cities are fortified. What do we need to make sure of? That the Lord is pleased with us. If the Lord is pleased with us, what can we possibly worry about? God made a promise to give the land, therefore they were to concern themselves with pleasing God and receiving the promise. The warning, do not rebel against the Lord. And thirdly, don't be afraid of the people. If you fear God, you need not fear men. If God has promised the land, let's obey him and enter and take it. Circumstances did not cause Joshua to doubt God's promises. Joshua was wholehearted in following God. And verse we read at the beginning, because the Lord's anger was aroused that day and he swore an oath, because they have not followed me wholeheartedly, not one of the men 20 years old or more who came up out of Egypt will see the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not one except Caleb and Joshua, for they followed me wholeheartedly. Joshua's wholehearted devotion was yet to be put to its greatest test. Joshua was one of the two oldest men to cross the Jordan, he and Caleb. Yet Joshua was appointed by Moses to lead the battles to take the land. Joshua was faithful. We could recount much, but I'll just read these few verses. Joshua took all of these royal cities and their kings and put them to the sword. He totally destroyed them as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. Yet Israel did not burn any of the cities built on their mounds except Hazor, which Joshua burned. The Israelites carried off for themselves all the plunder and livestock of those cities, but all the people they put to the sword until they completely destroyed them, not sparing anyone that breathed. As the Lord commanded his servant Moses, so Moses commanded Joshua, and Joshua did it. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. To be so wholehearted that he left nothing undone. Nothing undone. Joshua, near the end of his life, challenges others to wholehearted devotion to God. Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your fathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now there's a portion here that is so often quoted in a minute portion, taken out of context to mean something completely different than what it says. Choose you this day whom you shall serve. And how often is that put forward that, look, God wants you to make a choice for him. God wants you to choose. By the way, nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to choose God. It only talks about who he has chosen. It doesn't talk about who we've chosen. It talks about who he has chosen. We're also never told to accept him. We're told that he makes us accepted to God. It's faith that Jesus makes me acceptable. But what is this saying here? Choose you this day whom you will serve. First, there's a commandment. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped and serve the Lord. And that is not presented by Joshua as a choice. That is a command. That's a command. That's not decide whether you want blue or brown. That's a command. Put away the false gods and serve the true and living God. Then he goes on, but if you won't do that, then you have a choice to make. There is one way to heaven, and there's no choice about it. You obey or you don't. But to go to hell, there's a choice to make, because there's lots of roads. If it's undesirable to you to serve the living God as he has commanded you to do, then you've got to choose between the false gods that your fathers had back there or the false gods that the people worship here. Make a choice. Really doesn't matter. The end of the road's destruction either way. First, there's a command. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the false gods and serve the Lord. Second, look at the alternative to serving the Lord. But if serving doesn't seem desirable to you, if you're not going to serve the Lord, then what? Then choose for yourself this day whom you will. A consideration of the choices, the gods of the forefathers, the gods of the new land, both false. The Lord is not on the choice list. When he says, choose this day whom you shall serve, he never mentions the living God. You've been commanded to follow the living God. And if you're going to walk in disobedience to that, here's some choices. But Joshua's firm resolve is this, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And this resolve is a mark of Joshua's life, a servant in God's household from his youth, faithful in small things, proving himself trustworthy in big things, believing and trusting the promises of God, ready to be different, to stand up against a crowd in following God, patient in slavery, in the wilderness, and conquest in facing death, trust, believe, and obey. I say, when the scripture says to find the faithful and imitate them, Joshua well deserves to be on the list. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the witness of faithful men that we see in your scripture. And Lord, I pray for us here tonight, and I pray for our church, that you would stir us and that we would be known as a people that serve the living God wholeheartedly. And give all praise and glory to our Savior. Amen.